When we think of our men and women who serve in our armed forces, we see them as being brave, heroic, fearless, and tough. Maybe that causes us to forget something about those who serve. They're also human and possess the same emotional limitations that we all do. When those limitations are shattered by the extreme, the results can often be equally extreme. For example, post-traumatic stress disorder and all the darkness that brings with it. However, a targeted solution to PTSD has shown to result in significant recovery and restoration of that veteran into being a person with a love of life as well as a love of themselves. Once again, the next guest is here to share his personal experiences regarding all of this and the efforts of Canines for Warriors. He is an 18-year veteran of the Army National Guard whose service included time in Iraq. Retired Master Sergeant David Crenshaw. How are you today, sir?
Good. How are you doing today, sir?
Thank you for having me. Thank you for your service to the military and the service and what a lot of people are finding in the aftermath. And as we've come to learn, David, the aftermath of military service is not all glamour and glory, as you well know. Talk about your story of, because we know the phrase, I can say it to anyone, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. But if you ask them, well, what's it involve? That's going to be the head scratcher for a lot of people, and hopefully maybe you can help them understand better.
Absolutely, and I think you hit the nail on the head with that one. Some people hear PTSD, and it automatically strikes fear in them. And I think that's just come from the lack of education of truly knowing what PTSD is. At its core, it's an anxiety disorder. So, you know, there's a litany of different types of signs and symptoms that present themselves with PTSD, and it presents themselves different in every veteran or every person differently. I could say for myself, one of the biggest things was hypervigilance, and that's constantly being in a state of readiness, of being on guard, as if, you know, emergencizing every situation to be aware and ready to react at any moment's notice. That's, you know, that's your hypervigilance. One of the other big things was isolation and withdrawal. And, you know, that was something that I would often do with my family. You know, I felt the safety and refuge of being in my house and having my family and loved ones around me, but I still wanted to be off isolated by myself. And those were two really big things that affected, my social life. You know, there's a double-edged sword as it cuts with the hypervigilance. You know, being in law enforcement later on in my career, it was advantageous. It's what kept me alive in a lot of my situations. But, you know, I would often hear in with my family being out to dinner, instead of being there at that dinner table enjoying the company of my family, I'm worried about everything else that's going on in the room. You know, where are the exits? What are the dangers? And that just makes for an unenjoyable experience, not only for the veteran, but the loved ones that are in and around them all the time.
As you say, there's more, and it depends person to person how PTSD affects a person, but it's almost where just about every aspect of PTSD would make it challenging or difficult for others to want to be around that person for a variety of reasons, as well as you mentioned isolationism. When someone is in need of help or assistance, separating yourself is the worst thing you'd be doing.
Absolutely. And just like you said, it's tough to be around those people. One of the big things, a symptom of PTSD, is irritability and anger. You know, they both are similar but manifest themselves in different ways. I can say for you, the irritability that I would face, it was because I was experiencing this, right, in the beginning. And I didn't know what I was experiencing. I didn't know how to get out of that. I didn't feel like I could turn to someone and ask for help and feel safe in asking for that. So there's a lot of irritability in that. It's, you know, similar to a toothache and not being able to get rid of that pain. This is no different. It just hijacks your nervous system, and, you know, which creates that anxiety.
We've also heard now report after report, and it varies survey to survey. The numbers really range anywhere between 20 to 40 veterans per day are committing suicide with PTSD as the underlying cause. If you look at some of the stats from the VA, from Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom, they estimate in the past year, 15 out of 100 veterans have been diagnosed with PTSD. At some point in their life, that number goes to 29 out of 100. That's 29% of veterans in that most recent, coming out of that most recent survey. And the veteran suicide rates again, according to the VA, is 1.6 times higher than it is for non-veterans. That's why any possible recourse, any possible solution, any possible answer to help these veterans is important, and that's where Canines for Warriors came in. How did you find out, how did you get the connection with this organization?
Believe it or not, it was through another nonprofit organization based here in New Jersey, the Lieutenant Dennis W. Zielinski II Memorial Foundation. They're based in around central New Jersey, and because I had worked with one of the sons in the police force as well in the military, I was very, you know, I knew about the organization and they knew me. We ended up becoming a family friends, and they had started their organization because of the loss of their eldest son, also who has served in Operation Iraqi Freedom. And it was their suggestion that I try it. And at this point, I had already done your typical ways to address PTSD: medication and therapy. And with that, it may have got rid of the anxieties that I was having, but it also numbed me. And I didn't feel human. I didn't feel the way I know I wanted to feel. I would tell everybody the biggest thing for anybody, not just veterans, is the best advocate for anyone is yourself. And, you know, with veterans, we want to be able to advocate and receive those integrative, you know, therapies, but do it with dignity. And so, you know, with a service dog, it felt like that was the best avenue to approach. You know, it's sad to say that I could walk down the street and it's more socially acceptable to see me with a service dog than to sit here and tell someone that I take medication for the same exact thing.
But as you said, it brings a brightness back into your life, not just an existence.
Exactly, right? We're not just masking it just to solve that problem. You know, these service dogs, it is a therapy. You know, it brings about joy. I mean, there's no hidden secret to what dogs do for humans, right? It's been that way for centuries. And what Canines has done is they've really just tapped an untapped source of what we already know to be true with dogs. One, right, they bring positive light and enjoyment in your life, and then what they're able to do through their training, right, similar to that of the police canines, the military canines, or the blind CNI, you know, they just took it and applied it to a mental health aspect of it, and it's worked out amazing.
Talking with retired Master Sergeant David Crenshaw about the work of Canines for Warriors. You'll find out more at K9sForWarriors.org. We have it posted on our homepage as well, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Looking at the mechanics of Canines for Warriors, David, this isn't a quick entry and exit. You go through training, the dog goes through training, and not everyone who applies is going to be accepted because this has to work. There's no trial and error here. You want to make sure that Absolutely. Everything is going to fit right so it'll work right.
Absolutely. You know, there's a set of standards like anything else in life. And, you know, Canines is out there. Their ultimate goal is to end veteran suicide. And with that, we need to make sure that we're addressing the needs of those who, you know, I'm not going to say that anyone has more priority over the next, but I want to make sure that they're not throwing away their resources and they're utilizing them appropriately. Again, it's a high cost, right, to run these programs. It takes about 6 to 9 months on average, depending on the dog, in order to train them up to where they need to be for the veteran. And then they're bringing that veteran down for a residential training for 3 weeks. And so all that, like anything else, has a cost. And this is, I want to say, 90%, you know, forgive me, my numbers are a little bit off, but all that is all donation driven. And so, you know, they have to, you know, have to have a high set of standards, which from what I've seen, obviously, having gone through the program and being able to be an ambassador for them, there's a lot of duplication out there, replication, but they're not duplicating, rather, what Canines is able to provide. And that's a big wraparound service, right? They're not just giving you a dog and saying, hey, best of luck, here you go. No, they're with you from the moment that you apply, right? And unfortunately, we know there's a wait list. I think there's upwards of somewhere around 300 plus on the wait list, which we have gotten down significantly over the last couple of years, especially after COVID. And, you know, with that wait list, they understand that there are veterans. Obviously, they came to them for a reason. And so they're reaching out to them. They're bringing them in. They're making them a part of our family already from that onset. And to show what that application process looks like, you know, you apply online. So that's your written application, sort of, so to speak. You give your history, what you're looking for, and what you're looking to get out and where you want to be in life, right? And then they'll follow that up with usually a telephonic interview at some point in that process. And then when you get on campus, they'll do another in-person interview. And what they've done this whole time is taken all this information to put together to try to find the perfect fit of a service dog for you. And I could tell you, I would love to say 10 times out of 10, but I'm not there for every process, but they hit the nail on the head and they get it right. They match that dog's personality with what the veteran's personality is and what that veteran is looking to get out of life. And I could tell you that for me, it worked. You know, Doc, being my service dog, I wanted a dog that could be on the sidelines of a soccer field with me, that could go hiking with me, take trips with me, but also go on runs. And I mean, and also be a family dog, because, you know, I am of a family. And it's amazing. They got it right.
Well, we have to wrap up here, but I wanted to point out for you listening, extra bonus points for Canines for Warriors. A lot of the dogs that they bring into the program are rescued from high-kill shelters. Worth mentioning that. And also, according to a study by Flagler College, 92% of the veterans paired with a service dog from Canines for Warriors report needing less medication, and 82% of veterans report a reduction in suicide tendencies. I mentioned those numbers before about veteran suicides and the epidemic number that is becoming. The work of Canines for Warriors can reverse that trend in many ways. So if this is something you feel as a veteran is an answer for you, you want to explore, if it's an idea that you want to give your support to, you can also go to K9s, the number 9, K9sForWarriors.org. Find out more about the application process, various ways financially and other ways that you can support the work of Canines for Warriors. You've heard David tell the story of how it's been a benefit and a rescue for him that's happening over and over and over again. It's work we have to make sure keeps moving forward. K9, number 9, K9sForWarriors.org. Retired Master Sergeant David Crenshaw, thank you for your service and thank you for your information, support, and sharing your story to help us understand the importance of what Canines for Warriors are doing. Thanks for being here today.
My pleasure, sir.